tonight, you can turn with us to Psalm chapter 50. Psalm chapter 50 tonight, and we'll most likely be back to Amos next week, but earlier in the week, Monday and yesterday, while I was on treatment, that's when I do a majority of my study and Bible study preparations and sermon preparations. And there was a scripture that caught my eye that I thought would just be an encouragement to us here tonight. And, you know, ultimately that's what the midweek service is designed to be. It's to be an oasis in the middle of the week. Sometimes we have weeks that are long and hard and difficult, and it's good to be able to come to church and get encouraged and get refreshed and enjoy some fellowship tonight. But Psalm 50 will be there momentarily, of course, a psalm of Asaph. But as we begin tonight, I want to do so by asking just a very simple question. That is, have you ever stumbled across something that is precious, you know, something that is valuable, something that, you know, man, you just can't believe you found it. You know, you think about maybe you go to a thrift store or an antique shop or, you know, some of those little hole-in-the-wall type places, and, you know, 99% of it sometimes is nothing, you know, nothing but junk. And Kenny and I and Rose and Mandy, we were talking before service, and Mandy and I on Friday, we found a neat little spot over in Wysox called the Wysox Merchant Center. And we went over there, and I mean, it was packed to the gills with, you know, different things. But I'm sure that if you were to take the time to just search throughout a place such as that, you'd find something of value. You'd find something that would be considered precious, and you know, you couldn't believe that you found it. On YouTube, again, when I'm on treatment usually, or you know, usually when Mandy and I, we get home after church or running errands or work or whatever, we'll put on YouTube, and we like to watch these guys. They go out and they, you know, they go to thrift stores and yard sales and antique shops and estate sales, and they find things to, for the purpose of taking it, buying it cheap, and then selling it and making a profit. And sometimes in some of these videos, they find something out, you know, what they say, in the wild, and they might pay $2 for it, and they're able to turn around and make $125, $150, $200. And so for them, that turned into something valuable. It turned into something precious. You know, you think maybe of a rare coin or an antique treasure or perhaps a work of art. You know, you think about the joy, the excitement, the sense of awe that you felt in that moment. It's very hard to describe. Now, imagine that you're searching through an ancient treasure chest, and it's filled with jewels, and every time you open it, there's something even more beautiful. There's something even more valuable. There's something even more powerful than the last time you opened it. Now, you might think, Pastor, you're describing some type of magical treasure chest. You know, you're describing some type of genie in the bottle. But that is exactly what the Bible is. That's exactly what the Bible is like. It's a book. It's a bottomless well of just little nuggets of truth, just little truth gems, and each one more precious than gold or silver. And tonight I want us to dive into one of those gems, and that truth that is found here in Psalm chapter 50. Notice, if you would, verse number 5. Psalm chapter 50 and verse number 5. The Bible says, "Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice." Now, on Wednesday nights, we've been in Amos and we've talked about the covenant and what the covenant was and the purpose of the covenant. And here in Psalm chapter 50, we find a powerful psalm, again, of Asaph, that calls God's people to do a couple of things. Number one, it calls God's people to examine their hearts and their relationship with him. It opens with a declaration of God's power. It opens with a declaration of God's majesty, proclaiming that he is not in need of sacrifices, for he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Notice there, if you would, Psalm chapter 50 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "The mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof." Notice verse number 10. "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills." That's where we get the kids' Sunday school song, right? He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, the wealth in every vine. Everything that we see belongs to him. And yet here he calls for his people to offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. He calls them to live in obedience, not just merely as an outward show, but as a heart response to his mercy and his grace. And in the midst of this divine plea, in the midst of this plea that he's given to his people here in Psalm chapter 50, verse number 5 is the verse that stands as a beacon of light. It is the verse that stands as a beacon of hope. Notice again what it says, verse number 5. "Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice." And so this verse here speaks to the true nature of God's people. It shines a light on who we are as his child. And that is this, that true saints are not those who boast of their own greatness. They are not those who boast of their religious ritual, but those who have entered into a covenant with God through sacrifice. And that covenant that we entered into was the ultimate sacrifice, which we know today is fulfilled in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. So there's two things I want us to see tonight. Number one, I want us to see the covenant of sacrifice. The covenant of sacrifice. If you, in your Old Testament, we know that the covenant with God was established through sacrifices. We know the animal sacrifices for the atonement of sin, signifying the cost of sin, the need for reconciliation with God. However, those sacrifices, they were only a shadow. They were only a picture that they were pointing forward to the ultimate sacrifice that would be made once and for all by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the New Testament, when you get to the New Testament, Hebrews especially, it makes it clear that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of this covenant. Go, if you would, to Hebrews tonight. Hebrews chapter 1. and keep your finger there in Psalm. We'll be back there momentarily. But Hebrews chapter 1. And notice there, if you would, beginning at verse number 4. Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 4. The Bible says this: being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And then go over, if you would, chapter number 2. Chapter number 2, and notice, if you would, verses 1 through 4. The Bible says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing the witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. And so here we have the writer of Hebrews. He's saying, okay, the Lord Jesus Christ has been made much higher than the angels. And if the angels were to be listened to, then how much more should Christ be listened to? And his sacrifice on the cross, his perfect life, his death for our sins, that is what has made it possible for us now to enter into covenant with God. This is now what has made it possible for us to enter into a relationship with the Father. It's no longer about animal sacrifices. No more do we have to go and kill bulls and goats and sheep and all the rest. We don't have to do any of that anymore, because the sacrifice has already been made. The Lord Jesus Christ, he died, and he died once for all. Go over, if you would. You're there in Hebrews. And go over, I believe, chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and beginning at verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 1. The Bible says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come. See, there it is, that we mentioned it just a few moments ago, but the shadow. Killing those sacrifices, they were but a shadow of things to come. And not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. So here's what the writer of Hebrews is saying in layman's terms. You come, you make the sacrifice, your sins are forgotten. But then once the year is up, If you don't make another sacrifice, then the sins are remembered once again. That's what the writer is saying here. Verse number 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. And see, and here's the point. All the blood of the bulls and the goats and the sheep did, all they were but a covering for sin. That's all they did. That's the only purpose that they served, were to cover sin. Verse number 5, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he of course being Christ, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings, and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. And notice what it says, once for all. Skip down there, verse number 16. This is the covenant. In other words, this is the promise. This is the agreement that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And here it is, verse 17. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And here's the key, verse number 18. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. The Lord Jesus Christ came to not only cover our sin, but he came to take away our sin. And when you and I put our faith and our trust in him, he didn't just cover the sin, he took the sin away. The Bible says he takes our sin and he throws it into the sea and he does away with the sea. He remembers it no more. And so, let's say you got saved. Well, whatever that day is you got saved, a year later you didn't have to get saved again, because the sacrifice was made once for all. Once you got saved, that was it. It was done. It was over. Your eternity was sealed by the blood and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's through his death, his burial, his resurrection, that is what reconciles us to God. And this reconciliation, the best part of it, it's offered freely. It is given to anybody who will accept it. But that's the key. It's given freely, but it requires a response from us. It requires a response of faith. It requires a response of repentance. It requires a response of surrender. You think of a marriage covenant. By the way, that's what marriage is. It's a covenant. It's an agreement. It's a promise. And a man and a woman, they enter into a relationship, and it's not based on their perfection. I hope you know that tonight. It's not based on their perfection. You know, when you first dated, man, everything she did was perfect. Everything he did was perfect. When we were dating, she thought I could sit. She knew I could sin, but she thought I could sing. Oh, how quickly she found out I can't sing. You know, love blinds certain things. But you know, when you're first dating and you're getting to know each other, you know, everything each other do, oh, it's so cute. You know, you fall asleep, you're snoring. Oh, that's so cute, until it wakes you up at 3 in the morning because it sounds like she's sawing logs. Or in my case, if I'm sawing logs. And, you know, I have a CPAP machine, and so some nights I come up to bed and I forget to put it on because, you know, I lay down. Some nights I'm out like a light. And, I mean, like last night, I came to bed and I was out like a light. I woke up this morning, I had forgotten to take my glasses off, everything. And, I took my medicine, I laid down, and my neck hit the pillow, and that's all I remember. And by wake up, I forgot to put my CPAP on, forgot to put my glasses on, or take my glasses off. And, you know, without that, I just snore and snore and snore. And she lets me know it. You know, you're snoring. But marriage, when we enter into it, it's not based on our perfections. It's based on a commitment to one another. And the marriage covenant is not based, listen, it's not based on the greatness of the other person. It's based on the promise that they make to each other. And in the same way, our covenant with God is not about our greatness. If anything, it's about His greatness. If anything, it's about His goodness. If anything, it's about His perfection. It's about the sacrifice of Jesus and our commitment to live in response to His love. And then secondly and finally tonight, we see the covenant of sacrifice, but then we see the role of the saints. Look back, if you would, Psalm chapter 50. Psalm chapter 50, again, the Bible there, in verse 5, says, "Gather my saints together." Well, just who are the saints here in Psalm 50? The saints are not those who are perfect in their own strength. They're not those who are perfect in their own righteousness. No, they are those who have made a covenant with God. And that covenant is sealed by the blood, by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we think of saints, we might imagine people who are holy and untouchable. But in God's word, a saint is simply one who belongs to Him. A saint is one who knows Christ as his Savior. My pastor, he would always say when he would preach on something similar to this, he'd make a point of saying that all of us here tonight, if we know Christ, we're saints. We don't have to wait for some church somewhere in a far remote place to christen us saints. When we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we became saints. I'm Saint Robert tonight. You're Saint Alan tonight. You're Saint Michaela tonight. We become saints by the Lord. We had a man at the church in Philly. His name was Nick. And pastor would always say, when he would preach on something like this, he says, "Yep, in every service, we have Saint Nick present here in the service." And he said, "No, not Santa Claus." And he'd point to Nick. But we're saints tonight if we have put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, you don't become a saint through your own deeds. You don't become a saint by achieving a certain level of goodness. No, you become a saint by entering into a covenant, an agreement, a promise, a relationship with God. And that covenant is made possible only by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You consider the person, they inherit a great fortune. Now, that person who inherited it, they didn't earn it. They didn't create it. They were simply invited into the inheritance by virtue of his relationship with the benefactor. Well, that's the same way that you and I are made saints by our, and it's not by our own effort, but it's by God's grace through the sacrifice of Christ. And I lied, we have one more point. Thirdly, and finally, and that is the bottomless well of Scripture. Here in Psalm 50 in verse number 5, it reveals to us a very foundational truth about our relationship with God. And that is that our relationship with God is a covenant relationship built upon sacrifice. And the Bible is filled, you read your Bible, Genesis to Revelation, and you will find countless other gems that reveal these same beautiful truths. Because every page of Scripture speaks of the power of sacrifice. The sacrifice of Christ on the cross, and how that through his sacrifice, you and I can now have eternal life. You imagine tonight you find a treasure chest, and it's full of diamonds. It's full of pearls. It's full of precious stones. It's full of all the money you can think of. Each one represents a truth in the Bible. Each one more valuable than the last. And see, tonight when we read the Scriptures, when we read the Bible, we uncover these gems that speak of God's love, that speak of God's grace, that speak of God's mercy, that they speak of God's forgiveness. And the more that we dig into God's Word, the more we realize just how rich and how deep His love is for us. And Psalm 50 and verse 5 gives a simple invitation. And it's given to those of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have entered into a covenant with God, not by our own works or greatness, but by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And this is the essence of the gospel. God calls you to be a saint tonight. Not by what you have done, but by what Christ has done for you on your behalf. It's through his sacrifice you can be reconciled to God, forgiven of your sins, and made part of the family of God. As Christians tonight, we need to make sure that we are living a life that is in response to the sacrifice of Christ. When we open our Bibles to read our Bibles, we need to look to dig deep into God's Word, uncovering these precious gems of truth that it holds. We need to let our lives then reflect that covenant that we've made with God. Let our lives reflect that relationship, that promise that calls us to worship and obedience and a heart of sacrifice and gratitude for the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross. The Bible tells us, "Let your light therefore shine before men." If we are in a covenant with God, if we have put our faith and trust in God, we've been called to let our light shine so that those that are in darkness might see the hope that they can find in the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ, here in Psalm chapter 50, he wanted to gather his saints together unto him. And every time you and I, we come and we gather in church, we gather unto him to worship him, to praise him, to thank him for his love, his mercy, his grace, just to thank him for who he is. And then one day, he's going to gather us unto himself when he takes us home to heaven. And I said it Sunday, if you don't like church, you're really not going to like heaven. Because heaven is just church on steroids. It's an eternity of worshiping God. The crowns that we get to cast back at his feet because he's worthy of such worship. And one day, because of that sacrifice, he's going to take us home to be with himself. And so this week, this month, this year, be encouraged that one day we're going to be gathered to him. As you read your Bible, be reminded of his sacrifice. As you go about your week, be reminded of his love, his grace, his mercy for you. And then extend that to somebody else. So they too, if they put their faith in Christ, they'll be gathered unto him as well someday. Let's pray.